Let me invite you to take your Bible with me tonight, if you would, please. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, I'm looking forward to our time with your teens. I got to know Pastor Jason a little bit last summer. I went to San Juan Bible Camp with Northwest Valley Baptist Church and preached their teen camp, and Jason was our bus driver. And so got to spend a little bit of time with him, really enjoyed that. And I am thoroughly looking forward to our time this week with the teens in God's Word. And let me just ask you as a church family to be praying for our time together, that God will be doing a work in hearts through His Word for His glory. That we'll have safety, make some great memories, but most of all, that God will accomplish what He desires to do through His Word in their hearts. I've never been to Tri-City before. I know my dad has spoken here many years ago, and so it's really great to be here and to get to meet many of you. My family cannot be with me tonight. They're actually here in Arizona, but I spent the last 2 weeks at Camp Grandview and was speaking for a junior week and a teen week, and now my family is flying back home tomorrow to South Bend, Indiana, which is where we make our home, and then I'll be here this week and flying out after camp on Monday. So it's a delight to be with you this evening from God's Word. We're going to be looking at a very probably familiar verse and simple verse, but one that has tremendous truth as we look at biblically responding to the cares and problems of life. Now, nobody out there has any problems, right? No issues, no burdens, no worries. Look, the reality is this, all of us do. And it's not whether or not we have them. The real issue is, how are we going to respond when we have a care, problem, worry, anxiety, fear? What are we going to do? Are we going to handle them God's way and have victory and peace and grace? Or are we going to handle them our way and make a grand mess of things, which is what always happens when we take what's supposed to be God's and handle it ourselves? So I want to just share a very simple verse, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, which will be our text this evening, as we look at how to biblically respond to the cares and problems of life. Look with me at verse number 7. The Bible says this, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth, or cares, for you. Now, there's really just 2 points this evening. Number one, I want you to see, to understand the definition of care. What is a care of life? Well, the little word that we have translated care is a Greek word, which means that which divides and distracts the mind. It's any problem that, no matter how small or how big it is, that so fills our mind that it pushes God and His Word out of our thinking. Now, really, it could be any kind of problem. It could be a physical issue. Maybe you're sick. It could be a financial problem. Maybe a relationship issue between a husband and wife, or between parent and child, or extended family, or in your neighborhood, or maybe at work. It might be a spiritual issue that you're dealing with. Maybe a temptation. It might not even be a temptation. It may be an opportunity of ministry, but maybe it's this kind of thinking of why. Why did this happen? Or what if this happens? How will this take place? And it really doesn't matter what type of problem, physical, spiritual, emotional, relational, financial, that's not the issue. It's any problem, no matter how small or so big, that dominates our mind, that it divides our mind and distracts us from thinking biblically. You ever have one of those days you come in, maybe you come in home from work, or you walk in the office and somebody looks at you and they say, "Are you okay?" And you say, "Yeah, I'm okay. I've just got something on my mind." Maybe, have you ever had one of those nights where you can't go to sleep? You're laying in bed and that one thing is just like so filled your mind. You're just you're wrestling with it. You can't sleep because it's just dominated your thinking. Now, am I saying that it's wrong to think about your problems? Absolutely not. We are to think about them, but we're to think about them biblically. But just for the sake of the message, we need to understand that a care, or problem, worry, fear, a care is any problem, no matter how small or how big it may be, that distracts our minds, divides our minds from thinking biblically. It pushes God and His Word out of our thoughts. Number two, we're going to see God's plan for the deliverance from care. We're just going to kind of walk through this verse and see God's plan for the deliverance from care. So we're going to be pleased at the very first word. It's the word casting. Now, I am an outdoorsman. I love to hunt. I love to fish. When I see the word casting, what do you think I think of? Now, I have two sons. One is 16, one's 14. And when they were little, I take them fishing. I spent three summers as the summer staff evangelist at a camp in Houghton Lake, Michigan, Camp Kobiak. And I would take my boys in the evening when they were 4 and 2, and we'd go stand on the guy's swim dock, and I'd put a worm on their little Snoopy pole and put the little bobber on, and they'd cast it out. And what would they do if the fish didn't eat the worm in like the first, 35 seconds that it was in the water? What did they want to do? Reel it back in, right? By the way, some of you adults do that still, right? That is not what the Greek word casting means. It's a very interesting word. It has a couple ideas. One is to fling or toss. The second idea is to deposit a load. It's in the tense, which means it's to be continual. In other words, it's not to stop. You could translate it be casting or be always casting. The idea is this, it's taking something out of my hand and placing it into God's hands, no strings attached. So what do a lot of us do? When we have a problem, we give it to God, but we have a string attached to it, don't we? And when God doesn't solve our problem on our timetable, what do? Lord, hey, got this problem here, I need you to fix it. That's not casting. So the idea is this, when life hands us a problem, when we have a care, problem, anxiety, worry, we are to take that care and we are to fling or toss or to deposit that load out of our hands into the hands of God. Now, I think the Lord obviously used that word very specifically, and let me explain it. When you fling or toss, that is something that is light, correct? I like seeing, parents and children play catch. You ever see a father and son out in the yard playing catch with a bowling ball? No. So think about it this way. So the idea of fling or toss is the idea of smaller problems. You understand that some problems aren't as heavy as others? So is it a problem when you get a flat tire, or the car doesn't start, or the dishwasher breaks, or when you get the flu? There are some smaller problems. But let me ask you this. What about when you find out from the doctor that you have a life-threatening disease? What about when you get the news that a loved one has passed away? What about when you find out that your job may be gone? You see, God's word is so specific, it doesn't matter if it's a small problem or a big one. God says you take the small ones, you cast them to Him. You take those heavy burdens and you deposit that heavy load out of your hands into the hands of God, no strings attached. Now, how do I do that? You say, well, how do I do that? How do I take these problems and give them to God? Well, number one is by prayer. Philippians 4, 6, and 7, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep, word means to guard, your hearts and that anxious, that distracted, that fearful, that worried mind now is guarded through Christ Jesus. I had a girl in California, I'll never forget, she came up to me and she said, Brother Brent, are you saying that when I have a problem, I just say, Dear God, this is my problem, I'm giving it to you. Do you know what the answer to that question is? Absolutely yes. It might be the same problem 100 times in a day. It may be on your mind so much that you may need to be throughout the day. God, I've just got to give this to you. Lord, I'm giving you this problem. I am casting my care on you. I am trusting you for this. And I thank you that I can give it to you knowing that you're wise and good. And your grace is sufficient. We cast it by prayer. Number two, we do it by purposeful thinking. Now, this one I want you to really follow me on, okay? So please hang with me. Philippians 4:8. The Bible says in Philippians 4:8 that we, as a child of God, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think. Actually, be thinking. Be thinking on these things. These are the types of thoughts that are to dominate the mind of a believer. We're not going to go through the whole list, so don't panic, okay? We're going to go through the first one, truth. What is truthful thinking? What sort of things are true? Do you want to know what truthful thinking is? Truthful thinking is biblical thinking. John 17:17 says authoritatively, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now hang in there just for a second and follow this. If we are to cast our cares on Him by intentional thinking, how does that work? Let me ask you a question. In your life's journey, in your Christian experience, have you ever had your faith, what you know to be true about God and His Word, and your feelings, what I am now feeling and experiencing, you ever have them be in conflict with each other? I have. A couple years ago, my wife, we were getting ready to, we were celebrating my son's birthday a day early. We were going to Michigan for a week of meetings. And we got a call from my wife's doctor and said, well, I need you to come in. She said, well, I can't come in because we're leaving for Michigan. She said, you cannot leave. You must come in today. And we sat in that doctor's office. She told my wife that she was pretty sure that she had ovarian cancer. We had to cancel all of our meetings for the entire fall. We're a faith-based ministry, so I don't have a salary. I don't raise support like a missionary, so we live on the giving of God's people. So from October until the end of January of the next year, we had zero. We had no meetings. That's how we live. Now, I'm going to ask you two theological questions. I need you to respond. Question number one, is God good, yes or no? Psalmist wrote, Lord, thou art good and doest good. He's good. All the time. I know that to be true. Faith. Truth. Number two, does God make mistakes? Yes or no? No. Psalm 18:30, I forgot his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He's the buckle. I'm going to put their trust in him. God is good. He doesn't make a mistake. What was I feeling? What did my feelings say? God, if you're good, why are you letting something bad happen to me? Lord, how are you going to provide my needs? Lord, what if my wife, and you know, you're going through this, all of the fear. What if my wife dies? How are we going to handle the medical expenses? How are we going to pay our bills day by day? How do I talk to my children? How do I, as a husband, love and care for my wife who is on the bed crying? How do I comfort and come alongside my wife and help her through the worst news she may have ever received? What happens is this, our feelings and our faith are in conflict. Now listen to 2 Corinthians 10:5. Casting down imaginations, that's wanderings of the mind, and everything that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. So look, do I know God is good? Yes. Do I know He makes no mistakes? Yes, but my feelings begin to question, is He good? Will He provide? Is He faithful? Begins to exalt itself over the knowledge of God. And that's why it says, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And that means this, you must have a truth-dominated mind. I then had a choice. I will either purposefully dwell on the truth of God's Word and fill my mind with His Word and meditate on that, or I will allow my fear and my feelings push God and His Word out of my life and become paralyzed by the unbelief and fear that will control my heart and mind. And you must purposefully choose to dwell on things of truth. And you cast your care upon Him by choosing to dwell on the truths of God's Word that He has written down for us to read, to memorize, and meditate on. That's casting. Every time life hands me a problem, I give it to God by prayer and by purposeful thinking on His Word. Number two, look at the next word. He says, casting all. Interesting little Greek word. You know what that means? All. Every single one. Now, I'm a bow hunter. I'm a rifle hunter. I'm a muzzle loader. I'm a shotgunner. I'm a pistol shooter. I'll do whatever it takes. Okay, just so you understand that. One of my dreams, I would love to hunt in Arizona or really any state out west with a bow for an elk. And I shot an elk in Idaho with a rifle, and that was great, but I want to bow hunt an elk. And the person I would probably love to do it most with in this world is my younger brother, Scott. And he is a bow hunter, and he loves to hunt, and I would love to do that with him, and I have a plan. I have picked on him since the day that Mom brought him home from the hospital. Now, what I would like to do is, when we are up at, you know, those of you who have experienced elevation, do you know what I'm talking about? I don't do what takes me a while to adjust. Your shortness of breath, and, you know, 10,000, 11,000, 12,000 feet. Here's what I would do. I would walk behind my brother as we're, you know, up looking for elk at 10,000, 12,000 feet, and I would take a rock about this big, about every 30 to 50 yards, and I'd put it in his backpack, just one at a time. About 6 hours later, his backpack weighs, 40 pounds more than when it started. And then his legs are burning and he's short of breath and he's getting worn out. That's when I tell him what I did to him, because you know why? Because he's a third degree black belt. I don't want him to catch me. So I want him to be too worn out. Now, if I took a 30-pound rock and dropped it into his backpack, would he notice it? Sure. Is he going to notice one little rock at a time? See, look at me, believer. There are some of you perhaps sitting out here this evening. You've been carrying problems that God said, give to me. You've never said this with your mouth, but here's what you said with your life. Oh, life handed me that problem. Oh, God, I'm not going to bother. I got this. I can handle this. You know what you do? You put your little backpack. You say, man, why do I feel so discouraged? I can't pinpoint why I'm discouraged. I feel overwhelmed. I feel tired spiritually. I feel exhausted. I'm drained. God's word doesn't come alive. My prayer time is a dread. I just feel like I can't run the race because I feel so fatigued spiritually. I can't even hardly walk it. Why? Maybe it's because you are carrying problems that God said, give to me. You don't have a problem giving him the big ones because they are so big, you know you don't have the strength. But many believers are carrying those little problems that God said, give to me, and it's weighing them down. Wouldn't my brother be foolish to hike a mountain with 40 pounds of extra rocks on his back, knowing they're there? Yeah. Let me ask you a question. How much more foolish would it be for you to keep living your Christian life the way you are? You know what you need to do? Cut that backpack off. God, I can't remember every one of them. I'm just giving them all to you. Here's all of them. And I'm not going to carry them anymore. You said give them all to me. And to not give them all to him is to disobey. Casting all, look at the next word. He said casting all. Next word is your. Personal word, intimate word means you. All your care, those problems, no matter how big or small, that divide and distract our mind from thinking biblically, pushing God and his word out of our thoughts. Where do we cast them? Upon him. Who's that? It's the Lord. Let's take off our little spiritual mask. Can we do that tonight? Can we do that? Just be yourself. What do you really do when you have a problem? What do? You update your Facebook status, right? Right? You're texting everybody. Meet me at Starbucks. We got to talk. Right? And you know what we do? We tell everybody what's going on in our life. And then, after it's all said and done, what do we usually do? The one that we should be going to first is the one that we go to last. Now, Paul made it very plain. We are to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. I'm not saying it's wrong to share your burdens with others and have people pray for you and encourage you in the Lord. But here is the reality. I want to answer this question in your heart, please. Who is the sole dispenser of grace? Who is the true and only source of real wisdom? Who is the only one who has the power to provide the every need that you have, knowing when and how to give it to you? Who has the mercy to refresh and sustain? There's only one, and it's our God. Why would you go anywhere else? Casting all your care upon him. Why? Look at the text. He says, for or because he, that's God, cares for you. You know, it's interesting. You see care, cares. Hey, same word, right? Nope. These are two totally different Greek words. This word is a verb. It speaks of action. It's in the tense, which means continual. In other words, it's unending. It never stops. And the idea is that it is an active, unending, compassionate concern or care. He always and without ceasing is caring for you. If you be honest with yourself, have you ever wondered if God really did care about what you were going through? You ever sing that hymn, Does Jesus Care? It's an amazing hymn. Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth and song and my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks? Man, you ever been there? Does he know? Does he see? You know what the chorus is for every verse of the song? Oh, yes, he cares. I know He cares. Can I ask you a question? How do you know He cares? Because He told you so. He cares for you. Believer, look at me. You are the specific object of the compassionate concern of God. He never stops caring for you. Now, I've had people come to me over time and they've said things like, oh yeah, well if God cares, then where was God when? And they tell me their story. And I'm not trying to be calloused, or I'm not trying to be hard or cold. But do you know what the answer is? Where was God when? Where He is right now, the Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, His eyelids try the children of men. In Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's never stopped being God. He's never stopped knowing. And He's never stopped walking with you. So I want to ask you a question. If God seems far away from you, believer, who moved? God move away from you? Nope. You've walked away from Him. James 4:8, draw nigh to God. He will draw nigh to you. Look at me, believer, even in our unbelief, even when our strength is weak and we falter and we stumble, even in our rebellion, when because we are hurt and we don't have answers to questions, or the answers we get aren't enough, or our questions even go unanswered, and we turn in our disbelief and disobedience away from the Lord, and we turn our back upon our good God and walk away from Him, guess what? He still never stops caring. He never stops caring for us because we are His children. The reality is this, the only place that you are going to know the love and mercy that God has for you and the grace to sustain you is for you to come back and be close to your God so you can know His love and peace. But you need to rest in the assurance, God is caring for me. Believer, I have no idea what you're going through. And I don't need to. You know why? Because God knows all about it. I don't know what you're going to face this week. I don't know what you're going to face this year, but God does. And regardless of how small or how great your cares and burdens and problems are, you can cast by prayer and purposeful thinking every one of them upon your great God, because He is right now caring for you. This evening, what we're going to do, this may be a little different. We are going to take a couple minutes of quiet. This is our invitation. An invitation is simply this. It is a time that is set aside to specifically obey God's truth. What I want to invite you to do tonight is this. We're not going to have a song. We're going to have about a couple minutes of quiet. And by the way, I know quiet is unsettling, and that's okay. Just to have an undistracted mind, to be able to focus on God's Word, to do two things. One, to reflect on God's truth. Maybe you simply need to read 1 Peter 5:7 over and over again. Maybe you say, I need to start casting. Maybe you're the all. I'm the one with the backpack on. I need to cast, get this off. Maybe tonight you just need to say, Lord, I'm coming to give this problem to You. Maybe you need to come back to the Lord. You say, Lord, You care for me, and yet I've doubted. I've questioned Your Word. I've questioned Your ways. And I've wandered from You. Maybe tonight you need to come back in humility so that you might know the care of your God for you. Whatever your need, this is amazing. Right now, the God of heaven, the Creator of this universe, His gaze is upon this building, on each one of His children, ready and willing to take the burden that you'll cast upon Him so that He can be the one who sustains you. And that's what I'm inviting you to do tonight. Reflect on His Word and respond to His truth. Intentionally, willfully, obediently, respond to God's Word. Whatever that is for you, whatever your need, would you respond to God's Word? So would you bow your heads and hearts with me? Well, let's take the next couple of minutes of quiet to simply reflect on God's Word and to respond in obedience to it.